reading for this morning will be 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. 2 Corinthians 8, 9 through 11. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And in this manner I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness and desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have.
Right. He referenced that a year ago. Desires that work. Thumbs down. To be expected. Good to see everyone. Still the Lord's Day. We've had a good Bible study. We've had a good worship service. We trust that you have been edified and built up in the kingdom of God. Good to see everyone. Turning to Bible, James chapter 4. Once again, reading James chapter 4. Got some Bible this morning. Want to go from James 4 to 2 Corinthians 5 this morning. Want to notice James chapter 4. Let's look at verse 13. James says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord will, we will live and also do this or that.' But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting," James says, "is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does it not, to him he says it is sin." 2 Corinthians, a little older, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul talks about tribulations, difficulties, and suffering that he says he's in. I want you to notice verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says this, "Therefore, we also," he says, "as our ambition, whether at home or absent," he says, "to be pleasing to him," or "to please him." So, what happened to 2018? Where did it go? You ever think about that? You might be thinking, what's this, the New Year's lesson? Maybe it is, but I'm 13 days later than usual. But I had something to say last Sunday, but I've been thinking about some things about the New Year. I thought about some things. You know, it doesn't seem like too long ago that remember the false ballistic missile crisis Hawaii had? Remember that? Everybody was getting ready to get bombed in Hawaii. I remember that. I remember the mudslides that were happening in California. And I remember the teenagers eating Tide Pods. You know, way to go, teenagers. Remember that? And the Me Too movement. How about that? Remember that? The Me Too movement where a lot of powerful men lost their jobs. The Me Too movement was really just getting started. The Philadelphia Eagles were in the playoffs. And I knew what kind of year that was going to be, 2018, if the Eagles were in the playoffs. But I think about those things, about 2018. All those things that I just said happened in January of 2018. It's been almost a year, and really it just seems like yesterday that all of those things happened. I know that a lot of societies and cultures don't use the same calendar that we use. A lot of folks don't treat the new year like we do, but we do. And we look at it like it is a fresh time to have a fresh start, a new beginning. We always do that, alright? And we're, like I said, we're a couple weeks into that, but it does give us time to reflect maybe on some things that we'd like to do or things that we should do. But I want, are you doing that? Have you been doing that? And I know, again, I see your faces. Okay, here we go. He's going to start talking about the things that we need to do the new year. We're going to have to read the Bible more. Maybe y'all come to church more. We're going to get the list out. Now, I think all of those things are good. In fact, I think they're great things to think about doing for the new year. But because all of us are on a different path, I think a different level of our spiritual maturity, I don't think a lesson that has one size fits all is going to work. One big resolution list for all of us, because we're all different, we're all growing different, we all have those different abilities. But I think instead of making more resolutions for us to consider, I want us to consider this morning the resolution process. I want you to think about that as I look at my life and I see the things that I need to do, I see the things that I need to do so I can serve God, that I can be a better Christian. How do I not just resolve to do that, but how do I make that happen? How do I make the resolve that maybe I made or had in my mind as the new year begins? How do I make those things stick? These 13 days in it, I don't want the things that I thought about and prayed about. February is going to come in a couple of weeks, and these things just kind of fade away. And this time next year, I find myself in the same situation. Same issues, same things that you know, I've got these great intentions, but I'll never do anything about it. And when I look at James chapter 4 and look at the text, all that planning, I think a lot of times, as James says, must be according to the will of the Lord. Have you ever thought about what God wants in that process, in your result? Have you ever thought about exactly what God wants us to do? What would please God? And then to sharpen that, the other test, is what we want to do. And that is, that simple statement, to please Him. Paul says to please Him. In whatever sphere of influence that you have, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, however you are, our aim in the new year simply ought to be that for all of us. We want to please God. We want to please God. Serve God at a new level. Be more effective in our service to God. Be more effective as a Christian. Serve God better. I think for all of us, no matter what we resolve to do, that ought to be our aim, to please Him. And you know, when you make that statement, just by saying that, my aim is to please God, when you say that, all those other things that you might have resolved to do really seem bogus. Everybody says, why? What are we saying the first year? Well, I'm going to eat better. I'm going to lose that weight. I'm going to exercise. Everybody says all those things. We all say those things, and it lasts about as long as it takes to get it out of your mouth. That's just about how long all those things last. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about pleasing God. My aim is to please God. How's that happen? I think on the outset, I think there has to be self-examination. I think all of us need to do that. And I think there are a lot of issues, as I said. Excuse me, I'm losing. In our culture, one of the things that I really never noticed until of late, and that, you know what, in our culture, in our society, there's a lot of noise, isn't there? I remember in seventh grade, we had a big thing on pollution, and I was the only guy, the only kid that came up with noise pollution. How about that, huh? Did you know there's noise pollution? And it just, there's so much going on. We got the cells, you go into a restaurant, and I mean, you can't go to a restaurant. There's TVs in every corner. Everything's going. There's noise out there. And all of that, in the society that we live in, the noisy place that we live in, really doesn't give us much time to think deeply about ourselves, to self-examine, because there's a lot of things going on. That phone's ringing all the time. But while our society's not very good at recognizing that, the Bible really mandates that we seek out those places where there's not a lot of noise. Go to the Psalms, please. The Psalms always help me think deeply about life, but I want you to know the Psalm 49. Let's go to the Psalm 49. Notice what it says, verse 3. He says, my mouth will speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart will be understanding. The meditation of my heart. Take moments to do that. Take some thought to do that. The meditation of my heart, I love this. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 6. He's going to add here. Notice what he says. Verse 6. The wise man. Go to the ant. Look at the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and do what? Be wise. The meditation of my heart. I need to be wise. I need to examine myself and really see if I'm living in a wise way. Think about that from time to time. Go rest. Now, New Testament passage that we hear often, but I want to use it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's going to help us there in this where we read about the Lord's Supper. Now, part of the Lord's Supper is that we pause everything that we do and do exactly this. Look at verse 27. He says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Well, how do we do that then, Paul? How do we take that in a worthy manner? Verse 28. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is eating the bread, drinking the cup. There's always somebody who always, the first year, you know, your friend, neighbor, your relative says, I don't do resolutions are out. I'm not doing resolutions. That's just a bunch of, I don't do that. I'm not a resolution guy. And I look at these passages, we're always examining ourselves. As Christians, we always have self-examination. We always resolve to do things. Not just the first year, but time and time again. And really, not think about it again. Well, the new year certainly does provide a time for us. Maybe if we don't have self-examination like we should, maybe we ought to have self-examination this time. What's your aim? How do you do that? How do you aim to please God even now? Well, I think the book of Psalms, if you look at that, just those passages, I think there's a time for us to be quiet. And I think integrity is involved in self-examination. There's a lot of honesty in that. You have to be honest. You have to look at yourself in an honest way. And there is integrity involved. And a lot of that has to do with asking a lot of questions. Now, a lot of folks don't think when you have that self-examination, when you look at yourself, that you need to think about some of the things that you're doing right. But I think that's a good question to ask. That's a good question to ask right now. What do you do that's right? Huh? Don't ask me that. What do you do that's right? What God gave us all ability. He talks about that all through the Testament. Romans chapter 12, Ephesians 4. We all have that. But instead of focusing on the negative, because a lot of times, that's what a lot of people do. They begin this year, we're going, oh, you know what, I'm not working it. I can't, you know. No. God gave you ability to prosper in the kingdom of Christ. He gave us that. What are you good at that? What can you capitalize on? Now, if you're good at something, and I know you are, God knows you are, get better at it. Seek out more opportunities to do that. Always opportunities. Always a place where you use the ability that you have in the kingdom of Christ. Recognize that. So in a self-examination, you know what? Maybe I'm not about, I can do this. Do it. Be positive in the things that you're positively sure that you have the ability to do. Now, on top of that, yeah, what are you doing right? Think about that. But also, what are you doing wrong? What are some of the things that I'm doing wrong? I don't want to get arrogant. I don't want to get puffed up. Now, you know what that means? That means I need to repent. That means that there's sin in my life. Ongoing sin. Alright? I need to repent. Genuine repentance. Caught up in wrong, doing wrong, the things that you're doing wrong, you need to recognize that. That takes self-examination. I like what Proverbs says, chapter 28, verse 13. He talks about this. He says, the person who conceals sin is not going to prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes it, he will be blessed. As we look at our life, we see the things that we are doing wrong. We need to change that, and it does call for genuine repentance. So, just quickly out of the gate, I'm doing self-examination. Two things. What am I doing right? I'm doing some things right. What am I doing wrong? I need to change those things. Also, I look at that, and I have to ask the question, why are we doing this? Why are we doing the things that we are doing? Why am I involved in the things that I'm involved in? You know, always in the New Testament, always in serving God, there are things that we do, alright, that's great, but it always with God is involved in just doing something. God is concerned about your motive. God is concerned about your intent. Luke chapter 18. Notice there, two men pray. You know the passage. But I want to look at it. Notice what the Lord says about that. Luke chapter 18. Just God prays. Praying's good. Praying's always good, isn't it? Think about that. Yeah, pray. Look at verse 9. Luke 18, verse 9. He told this parable, verse 9. They trusted in themselves. Some people trust themselves. Viewed others with contempt. Two men, verse 10. went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and said, praying this way to himself, God, I think that I'm not like other people. When it was unjust, adulterers, even a tax collector, like this tax collector. Fast twice a week, pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing afar off, when the Lord talked about this man's prayer, all right, he's not impressed with this guy's prayer. He's praying, but he's not impressed. In fact, he's impressed in verse 13. God be merciful to me, a sinner. That man, verse 14, went down justified rather than the other. It's not just doing. Doing half the equation of what we're doing. It's why we're doing what we're doing. If I'm not involved in what I'm involved in, would I be doing what I'm doing if nobody else knew that I was doing what I'm doing? Would I be here if nobody else knew that I was here? Listen, I've done some things in this. Don't tell this story. This takes some self-examination. This takes some self-examination while we're serving God. What's nobody seen me this morning? Really, would I be here? And fourthly, I think, when you're thinking about that examination, I think a lot of times we really, really need to think about what truly does matter. And really, that's just in priority. We just prioritize things. A lot of social media time. A lot of this. We, you know, I don't think we'd say that's first and foremost on things that matter, but I'll tell you what, we spend a lot of time on. We spend a lot of time doing that. You know, lots of times we know what matters. We know what matters. But it's a matter of getting those things forward, front in our life. We can know what matters, but until we put them into place and prioritize that, you plan that. You think about it. I need to analyze those things. What's important in my life? What is important in my life? And am I pursuing those things? Remember Paul's aim? Remember our aim? My aim is to please. I want to please God now. I want to please God this year. Are we doing that? Have we stopped and thought about that? Have we meditated on that? Where are we? What am I doing? What am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? Why am I doing the things that I'm doing? All those things require self-examination. Well, which means secondly, when you think about that self-examination, one of the things that a real self-examination does for you, it's going to take you off dead center. And I say that because I think a lot of us are on dead center. And what I mean by that is, you know, I think that's where the breakdown comes sometimes. It's not a plan. You know, they say 99% of doing something is you need to plan a lot of time. Or really admit the problem. You know what, I think it's more than 90. I don't think 99% is admitting that you got something that you need to work on. I think that admitting something that you have to work on, that is a plus. That's a good starting place. But because you do that, you got to keep moving. Just saying, yeah, I got the problem, or just saying I want to do this, got to follow through. And you look at James, you look at our text, I'm afraid sometimes, I don't know where we got this, but I get this sometimes, I think it's wrong to plan sometimes. And it's almost like it sounds critical, but it's a plan. It's like we're just thrown out there, and the way to live the Christian life is spontaneous, and we just react and just ramble. But when you look at verse 14, come now, you say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a town, spend a year, trade, make profit. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. The problem's not planning. That's not what James is talking about. The problem is verse 14. He says, what is your life but a myth? The problem is a failure for all of us to grasp our own mortality, to realize what our life is, to realize what our life is about. And really, most important is verse 15, if the Lord will. A lot of us don't take God seriously. There's a failure here to take God seriously. James talking about the arrogance of imagining your life, doing what you want to do, leaving God out of the picture. That's what he's talking about. We just do whatever we want to, but when it comes to respecting God and God's will, not doing it. That's the danger. And somehow planning, unscriptural, I don't know, I don't get it. Think Noah just got some boards together and decided to build an ark. 100 years worth. It's no plan. Nehemiah, no plan. Joshua, no plan. Paul, no plan when he went on his missionary journey. Romans 15. God's plan for your eternal salvation, Peter says, even before the world began. There's nothing wrong with plan. There's nothing wrong, especially when what? When you plan to serve God better, maybe it takes some thought. Maybe it takes a little bit of plan. Maybe it takes more than just saying, yeah, I need to do this. Planning would be nice. But I think sometimes that's where we get stuck. We say all these things, and we fail simply because we don't have a plan. You know what part of that plan is? Prayer is a part of that plan. You know, Jeannie ran marathons a lot before she was unable. I think she ran about 75 marathons. 26.2 miles. And we were all over the country doing that, having a big time. She ran a couple of awful marathons, 50 miles, which was amazing. And I didn't have a good plan, because I ran out of bananas in those 50-mile races. Shame on me. But I remember, she didn't get up. The first marathon she ever did, trained for, she didn't get up and say, I want to live a healthier life. I'm going to go out and run 26 miles. She didn't do that. A little bit at a time. Took a lot of training. The day, we're going to do this. Go a little bit farther the next day. And that's how she was able to compete in those marathons. I thought about that a lot. And you know, first year, what happened? The gymnasium. And folks were doing what? You know, I know people who go to the gym regularly. And you know what they do the first 2 weeks of January? They don't go to the gym. You know why they don't go to the gym? Because it's packed with people that made New Year's resolution, I'm going to go to the gym. They don't go to the gym until the third week of January when it starts thinning out. These people buy all these high dollar gym memberships for the year, blah, 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 do all this. But there's no plan. There's no plan in that. When am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? And then there's no follow-through, there's no plan. If you want to make a spiritual change in your life, if you want to do to serve the Lord better, if you want to make it your aim to please God, folks, you're going to have to have a plan. You're going to have a way to figure out how you're going to do that. If you're going to stop doing something that you shouldn't do, or you're going to do something that you should do, you need a plan. You need to do that. There's a lot more to it. I think in this idle thought, when you're hearing some kind of sermon like this, yeah, you know what? I ought to do better. It'd be really neat if I could. No, it's more than that. You need to think deeper than that. You want to change? You need to get a plan to change. You need to think about that. There's no plan. If you fail to plan, what is it? Your plan, just plan on failing. If you fail to plan, you're just going to fail. You're just going to fail. So, part of that, as I said, is praying. I look at James 1. I'm going to need to bring that part of the plan. I'm going to pray to be a part of that. Let's look at James chapter 1. And really, we need to start that by bringing those concerns, those things that we have in our mind. I think we need to bring them to God. Now, we're addressing sin and temptation. But I think in a general way, when you look at it, look at verse 2. Consider what he says. All joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let that endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect or complete, and complete, he says, lacking in nothing. Feel like you're struggling to serve God? Feel like you're struggling to go through with your plan? Feel like the sin, temptation, whatever it is? What do we do about that? Verse 5. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. James talks about adding this wisdom. James talks about prayer, the trials, the strife of life. But I think the principle is clear here. There's a lot of things that we need to discuss with God. You got a plan. You have a hope to God. You struggling with something. You know what? When you do that, when you pray to God, when you say to God, these are things I want to stop doing, you say to God, these are things that I want to start doing, I do that, you know what that does? That really ramps it up better. That ramps up what you're doing when you've involved God. You know what that does? Makes you accountable. You know how things get different anyhow. tell your wife. Things get different now. If you tell your wife, you know what, this year, I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I'm telling you what, it's going, you know what? And if she comes in the kitchen and there I am with donuts, and what are you going to do? You're going to cup these donuts because you got a cup. What are you doing? You told me. You see how that works? Would somebody else know? That's what the rest of that does. When you tell God your plan, when you tell God, that's a different level, isn't that? And I think that's what James talked about. And so, by asking God to bless us with the wisdom to do what we want to do, to help us, he says, I think a lot of times we don't include God, even in our own spiritual growth. Talk to God. Include God. Hope that begins with prayer. John chapter 15. This is a principle I've struggled with for a long time. John chapter 15. And how it affects my relationship with God. It's a long time really before I paid attention to this, but notice what he says in verse 1. I'm the true vine. My Father is the true vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Sometimes we have to prune. You know, sometimes we have to say something in our life, even though it's good, even though it's meant for good, we have to prune. We have to cut it out of our life. You ever see those things where, I mean, there's so much opportunity in serving the Lord. There's so many things that you can do. There's so many things that you can volunteer for. There's so many things that can consume your time. All of those things. Hey, I can read. Look, there's a Bible program back there. Eileen made it up. I don't have it yet. Because I've got one that says, read 200 chapters a day. Huh? Well, it would take me long, would it? And, hey, that sounds like a good idea. I'm going to do that. Now, before you bite onto something, what are you going to leave out? What are you going to take out? Because whatever you promise God or yourself or you resolve to do, even though it's good, something else got to go. Something else got to be true. And we don't think that. Thus, when we pile it all on, we're doing good, I want to do. What happens? I don't end up reading 2 chapters a day. Alright? Because I'm not focused enough to understand, wait a minute, I put this on, now I can't do this, and again, one day, it's like, you end up doing nothing. Because you've got too much on your plate. So maybe the question I'll ask is, if you're making some plans to put something in your life, what's your plan to take out? What's your plan to resolve that? Because that has to be done. You just can't keep adding. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's not verse 1 and 2. I think that's what I wrote on your handout. Let's look at verse 12. Paul talking about apostles. Notice what he says. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 12. He says, but concerning Apollos, our brother, I encouraged him greatly to come to you with the brethren, and it was not at all his desire to come now, but what? When he has opportunity. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all men. Are you squeezing out those opportunities? Are you piling too much up? If your aim is to please God, what are you doing? What do you need to be doing? And I guess some of this might even be prioritized. And then in that, I think a third important idea is, you know what? We need to make a lot of things that we do habitual. Acts chapter 10, love this. We meet a man who became the first Gentile convert. Acts chapter 10, let's look at the very first verse. Now there was a man at Caesarea, his name Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Look at verse 2. A devout man, one who feared God with all his household, and gave alms to the Jewish people, and prayed to God continually. Now when you look at verse 2, that's Cornelius. That's Cornelius 24-7. That verse is saturated. There's no debate, there's no discussion what kind of a fellow this guy is. He's a good man. You look at him, he's good. And he habitually done all of these things. This isn't a day on, a day off. This verse says, hey, now, in our lives, we're going to make some changes. We're gonna be changed. And if we're gonna live for the Lord, and I'm saying those changes, a lot of them, folks, you're gonna have to make them a habit. This morning's weather.
We going to church or not?
Huh? I'll be a good day to brew another coffee with it. Huh? Kick back, watch a little bit of Pentecostal TV. Huh? Be a good morning to do that with. How many of you kicked that around? Can I make them roads bad enough that the elders know I can't make them? Huh? Was there a question? How many of you got up this morning and questioned that? You know what? It's the habit, isn't it, of some. We've made it a We're coming to church. No, what are you talking about? Now, some folks did it. And some folks want that weather bad. Gordon's probably still got that bug. He's going to be hoarse. Anything you think about. And so, what do we do? We start questioning these things that we shouldn't even question. We need to take the question out of them. When you do things by habit to serve the Lord, I tell you, it's a blessing. Now, there's a lot of things in your life. I'm not minimizing, but there's not things serious that you need to talk about, serious that you need to think about, debate, discuss. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that the things that aim to please God, that we live our everyday Christian life, those are just in habit for us. Are just in habitual for us. We take the question out of it. And I see that in Acts 2. Cornelius didn't have to think to give alms, a devout man. No, those things were not in the habit of us. All these things were habitual. And by the way, you think about that, the Lord did that, did he not? As was his custom. What Paul did, as was his custom. There were things that the Lord did. There were things that the apostles did that were just out of habit. We need to be able to do that. And by the way, when there's been research done in that, and you think about what we have, self-control, all of us have that problem. Oh, you know, to form those habits, you know, there's been some research, and a lot of research, I was surprised, done on folks that have great self-control and that do things in a habitual way, is what we would call it, but do things all the time, never fail to do the right thing, what they've learned out in their life to do. And I think about that, and before I look at this, I thought, boy, these guys, they've got something that I don't. They're really just gritting their teeth, and they're going to do it no matter what. But what they found out was the people that exhibit that kind of self-control and that kind of life that we would all like really are the ones that submit things to habit. They're not every moment making, I don't know if I can do that. No, it's automatic. Amazing. I'm glad to see that kind of research done. But it shows that they just do it because they've made it really to a point of habit. And that's what I need to do because they just do it. It's not a question. I need to do that. And I think a big key to that is you have to, put on your environment. Let's go to Judges. Pick up on this. I think a lot of us don't do this. I want you to know that when the children of Israel came into the promised land, Judges chapter 2, look at verse 10. He says this, and that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord. This one generation. Nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. The sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baal. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were around them, and bowed themselves down to them. Thus, they provoked the Lord to anger. Well, they didn't control their environment. What did God want them to do? Hey, you go in there and do what? Eliminate those idols. You need to get those idols out of there, every single one of them, because when you do that, it's going to make it easier for you to serve God. Yeah, what easier to serve God? We know, I know, just looking at that, those three verses, they needed to control their environment. Jesus put the four Oreo cookies on the table. You know they're making chocolates now. He put the four Oreos on the table. You know what? In about 10 minutes, they're going to be gone. If you put seven of them there, they'd be gone. 10. But if she would just control her environment, Well, she's here, right? I'll throw. Put it in the cover. Get out of my sight. Isn't that how it works? Why are these things here? They say, take me, eat me. No. You know? That's why they're here. Not to pull my advice, it's not to help me on my resolve. Not to eat all those ordinary cookies, but to pull in your advice. Maybe some of you said, hey, this is normal, but I'm going to read my Bible more. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Put your Bible on top of the remote. Come back. Come pick that thing up and do an app so you can watch endless news. Huh? Maybe you could do an app. Do this. Control your environment. Think that way. And really, on your social, on your phone, hey, maybe if you put those Bible apps up front instead of in the back, all that social junk that's up front now, switch it. Switch it. It's easy to do those things. There are small things that you can do to control your environment. And really, it's all about starting small. You know, we always think about preaching the gospel, spreading the gospel around the world. We're to do that. We're commanded to do that. The folks all the world right here. And there's a million things that all of us can do that add up to be big things when we begin thinking about aiming to please God. That simple statement. Turn to Luke chapter 11. You know, sometimes we start talking about making these big changes, these ginormous changes, and that's all good. But I want you to notice what Jesus said in Luke chapter 11. Here's the Lord's prayer class. He had a class on prayer. They came to him, 11, it happened to him, verse 1. Hey, teach us to pray. Jesus said, Luke 11, verse 2, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us or sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. How long do you think the class on prayer lasted there? 5 minutes? And really just start small of that. Now, that's not everything that the Lord said about prayer. Of course not. Nor the scriptures. But maybe we start small of some things. We won't be so easily discouraged and dismissed the things that we resolve to change in our spiritual life. All of us. One fellow I know said that he's gonna read 200 books this year. 200 books. Now he's going to do it one page a day, he said. Now, you know what one page a day does? It leads to maybe I'm going to do two or three. Instead of saying I'm going to read a book a day, how about a page a day? And while you're reading that page, you might be interested enough to go to page two. One fellow said he's going to go to the gym. Okay, we all heard that. You know what he does? He puts his gym clothes in his truck every day before he goes to work on the days that he goes to the gym. And when he gets to the gym, you know what he's going to work on? One thing. One machine. Just one machine. At the gym. Guess what happens? What's that going to lead to when he starts out small like that? Two things. Three things. Instead of saying, I'm going to work out for 2 hours and hit every machine, I'm just going to do this. And start out small. Make those kind of goals. So we're building habits. We're building those habits. We're controlling the environment. We're thinking small, all of those things that we're doing is to please God. That's our aim. We can make resolutions all day. Is your aim to please God? How do I do that? Do you feel like doing it every day? Every single day? Do you feel like it? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Last fact. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul says, you've got to do better than being captive by the moment. Can't be held captive by the moment. What I say that for is, all of these things, I say we're emotionally fickle people, are we not? Don't let your emotions control this resolve. Notice what he says in verse 17. He says, for momentary light affliction is producing for us eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While he says, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, Paul says, are eternal. Things that are seen are transient, they're temporary. The things that are unseen are the things that are eternal. We have got to get past those feelings that feel like every day, don't feel like You're not going to feel like it. Pleasing God every day, got to get past that moment. These things that we're discussing are eternal matters. They're spiritual matters. They're life-saving matters. But we need to resolve that. We need to resolve to be pleasing to God. We need to build those habits. And you know what? I looked at next year's calendar. You know, 2020 falls on Wednesday next year. And I wonder sometimes if next year we're going to come here Wednesday night, first day of the year. Hey, you remember that during the shutdown? Remember that? Hey, you remember how bad Alabama got the song? Day year. You know, I wonder if someone will say or think and review what they've done. You know what? I've really made a lot of spiritual progress 2019. It's been a good year for me to serve God. It's been a great year. I've resolved to do some things for God, to please God. I've built me some habits. And I'll tell you what, I'm so thankful that God allowed me to serve Him like I did in 2019. Let's do that. Let's make that our aim this year. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's the gospel plan of salvation. If you've not done that, resolve to do it now. Resolve to do it today. Very plain, very simple. If there's something between you and the cross, fix that. You'll never start there. You'll never please God until you do. Be a Christian today. Please come as together we stand and sing.